Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. Always thankful for the opportunities we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. And certainly we are thankful for each and every one that's with us today. If you're visiting, we're certainly glad that you've come our way. And if you have any questions, certainly we're open to questions. And certainly we would love to give you a Bible answer every opportunity we have. This morning I'd like to talk about fear. And really overcoming fear. You know, fear has been a problem throughout the Old and the New Testament. It's not a problem that is unique to us, although sometimes it might feel that way as it tends to boil up inside of you. Our fears, our anxieties, things of that nature. I think that the Bible and God really tries to lead us away from fear. But certainly we're imperfect and we're working on it. I think the Bible tries to lead us away from anxiety, but we're not perfect and we're working on it. You know, the Bible tries to lead us away from so many things. But today I'd like to talk about fear. You know, there's an account in the Old Testament of King Asa, and he gets a disease of his feet. And it says that he actually consulted the doctors before he consulted God. And he ends up dying. And I'm kind of under the idea that if he would have consulted God in that case, perhaps his life would have been spared. As we have seen other people in the Old Testament, as they went to God and they petitioned God, that God would perhaps even extend their life for a period of time, as we look in the Old Testament at those individuals. But you think of that idea that we have an individual that consulted God, consulted the doctors of the world before they consulted God. And I fear that unfortunately, as the years have rolled on, we have fallen into that habit quite more often. I'm not saying that doctors cannot be helpful, and there are not some great things in medical knowledge that have been discovered by individuals utilizing their minds that God has given them. But I do think that we do fall into a great trap when we consult the doctors before we consult God. Before we say, what can the great physician do with me? Before we turn to earthly care. And it's not that I'm against earthly care. But there should be a priority system in our mind. Can I sort this out with the Lord first? And if I can't sort it out with the Lord, maybe I can seek some care on the outside. But I want to talk about fear. You know, fear, I think God tries to lead us away from fear. He tries to help us with that. And I think that the Bible actually gives us prescriptions for fear. Many individuals will run a lot of different places. The first place I want to run is to Dr. Jesus and see what the Bible has to say about fear and how people of the past handled fear. Because a lot of the remedies that are thrown out by individuals today do not have the Bible in mind, do not have our God in mind, and perhaps they leave God out of the equation. There's a lot of people in the Bible that have dealt with fear. They have struggled, trials, temptations, adversities that they had to overcome. One of those I think is Job. And really what kind of spawned this lesson was actually reading Job chapter 3 and verse 25. We remember Job was a righteous man. He was a good man. In fact, he has probably one of the best records in the Bible. A good and righteous man. In Job chapter 3 and verse 25, Job says something quite interesting. This is what he says. He says, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Job had fear. Now, a whole lot has happened to Job. He's lost so many things, and we see that transpire throughout the book of Job. He loses his family. He loses his health. He loses his finances. He loses so many things. And it just strikes me as so powerful that we have such a good and upright man. In Job chapter 3 and verse 25, he says, for the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I have dreaded has happened to me. Good and righteous individuals struggle with fear. Now, I think God tries to lead us away from fear. I think God tries to help us with our fears, tries to lead us away from anxiety. But people of God can fear. And I believe God offers a prescription. Now, I'm not saying that you are going to take it. Some of the prescriptions in the Bible might be difficult for you to take, but I believe that the Bible gives us prescriptions to help us with our fears, our anxieties, and our trials in life. Certainly, as you sit here today, there's probably some things that pop into your mind that you do fear. And Job, in Job chapter 3, verse 25, I think reveals that an upright and good individual can fear some things. But what did Job fear? I think that's a good question. What did he fear? But Job's not the only person that had fear in the Bible. It's well documented throughout. I think the Israelites in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. The children of Israel have come out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've went to Mount Sinai. They're at the edge of the Promised Land. They send the spies in. And those spies come back and they start to give the report to the Israelites. And what we have is we have Joshua and Caleb really trying to encourage them to trust God and to take the Promised Land. But everyone else in the Israelites, it seems that there is fear spreading like a disease through the camp. They say they're stronger than us. They have more resources than us. They're more fortified than us. And they start rattling off all these things. And I think they would all fall under the umbrella of fear. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 9, as Joshua and Caleb are trying to work with the people as best they can, this is said. It says, "Always do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." We see that the Israelites outside the Promised Land were taken back by fear. In fact, I think when we look at fear in our lives, we realize that fear can actually paralyze us in relation to doing what God wants us to do. I think that's what happens on the edge of the Promised Land, is these individuals know what God has promised. These individuals know that this is supposed to be their land, but their fears get the better of them, and they, for a moment in time, are paralyzed. They are bigger, stronger, have more resources. We can't do this, God. And we see the fear get the best of them. And as Joshua and Caleb are trying to work, it says, "Only do not rebel against God, nor fear the people of the land, for they are bread, their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Fear is a problem. And fear, I think, can get in the way of your spiritual growth. I think you can get in the way of your relationship with God and serving God the way that you should because fear gets in the way. Job was a righteous man. He had fear. We see the Israelites had fear. I think God knew that his servants would have fear. I think of Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is sending the disciples out in Matthew chapter 10, and he mentions fear quite a bit. It seems like God knew that his servant would struggle when persecution came and trials and adversities come, that they would not have every day up, that they would have some down days. They would have some days that they were going to struggle. And in Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 and following, the Bible says this. It says, "Therefore, do not fear them." Well, why is Jesus telling them not to fear? Because they probably will. He says, "Do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetop. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than the sparrows." Jesus is sending some of his followers out, and he says, "Do not fear, do not fear, do not fear." Why does Jesus have to say that? Because I believe Jesus knew that his followers, even though close to him, even though they are following him, would struggle in this area. And I think if we look back at Job and Job's struggle with fear, if we look back and we see the Israelites struggling with fear on the edge of the Promised Land, if we see Jesus encouraging his followers not to fear, that fear could play a very big role in our service to God. Has your fear paralyzed you in serving the Lord? I think on the Sea of Galilee in Mark chapter 4 and verse 40, Jesus is sleeping there and they wake him up and a question is posed by Jesus in Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. It says, "But he said to them, why are you fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" I think there, Jesus makes a powerful connection. Is that there is a connection between our faith and our fear. Say, well, Kyle, I have a lot of fears. Well, Job had some fear. I believe David had some fear. I believe Paul had some fear. The question is when fear comes into our lives, comes into our hearts, how do we handle it? Do we let it paralyze us that we don't serve the Lord and don't make the right decisions? Or do we trust in the Lord, trust in His promises, pray, and press on? Because I guarantee you, at some point in your Christian life, as you're trying to serve the Lord, you are going to come face to face with fear. You are going to come face to face with fear if you are serving the Lord to the best of your ability. I have faced fear, and I believe, as my brothers and sisters in Christ, you face fear. And the question is how can we handle those fears better as we go throughout our lives? Because we see individuals that are followers of God that struggle with fear in the Old and the New Testament. So what's the prescription for fear? I believe David gives us a prescription in Psalm 56, if you'll turn over there. In Psalm 56, I believe we get a prescription for fear. Now, I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. Many of the prescriptions of the Bible are not easy to swallow. They are not easy to take. But David has a prescription for fear. If you go over to Psalm chapter 56, David goes through many trials and tribulations in his life. In fact, much of his life, he's on the run. He's on the run from people he would consider family, from King Saul. He's on the run from his own son, who runs him out of town. David had a lot of trials and adversities. David had a lot of battles. David was captured on occasion. David, in Psalm 56, I believe, admits he had periods in his life where he had fear. If you look at Psalm 56, it starts out there. I kind of want to focus on verse 3, but it says, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High." David's saying, it seems like everybody is against me. And then in verse 3, he says, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." Wait, did David just admit that he had fear? I believe he did. David, a man after God's own heart. You already looked at Job chapter 3 and verse 25, a good and upright man who said, "My greatest fears have come upon me." Just because we have fear does not mean we pack up shop. Just because we have fear does not mean we are paralyzed. Just because we have fear does not mean we stop when we are servants of the Lord. Job said, "My greatest fears have come upon me." David here says, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." And I think therein lies one of our prescriptions to fear, is we need to trust in God. Do you remember who created the universe? See, my help comes from God who created the heavens and the earth. When we forget who is on our side, we put ourselves many times on an island. And we believe that we are facing the trials of this life all alone. But I think David, as he went through so many of these trials, and he was facing people from every side, he could say, "You know what? The deck is stacked against me. The odds are against me. I feel like I'm pressed on every side, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trust in God." You say, "Well, Kyle, that's not easy." I know it's not easy. A lot of the prescriptions in the Bible are not easy. Trust in God. Verse 3, he says, "Whenever I'm afraid, I trust in you." Will you trust in God? I think we all have fears, and I think those fears are on various levels at different times throughout our life. Will we trust in God? I think we can overcome many of our fears if we calculate God into the equation. See, I think that was the problem with the Israelites out by the promised land. Is they saw all the physical problems. They saw all the physical adversity. They saw how it looked like the deck was stacked against them, but many of those Israelites were not factoring God into the equation. But Joshua and Caleb did. Joshua and Caleb said, "Let's factor in God. Let's factor God into our lives when we face things that are hard and challenging as we go through the trials and adversities of life." Have you learned to trust the Lord? Did Job learn to trust the Lord? I believe Job did. But you know what? When I look at the Israelites outside the promised land, perhaps they didn't learn that lesson. They did not learn that they had to trust God. Did David learn the lesson? Did the disciples of Jesus in the New Testament, did they learn the lesson? As we go throughout the book, as we look through Psalm 56, look at verse 3 and 4. It says, "For whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me?" You know, that sounds a whole lot like Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? If you want to face some fears and trials that you're going through, think that God is on your side. But see, many times, people do not factor God into the equation. It seems like they put God so far away. Look at verse 11 in Psalm 56. It says, "In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" When God is on your side, a whole lot of things can dissipate. A whole lot of things that seem like they're big and challenging and daunting seem so small in the face of God. Do we have faith over fear? If you live in fear, you will be paralyzed. Just as the Israelites were paralyzed outside the promised land, they were paralyzed by fear. They were paralyzed because they couldn't trust in God. And I'm not saying that that is not hard and that is not difficult. We can see that David had fear at points in his life. But David said, "When I have fear, I look to God." When you have fear, where do you look? Many times we look to ourselves. Many times we look to the physical doctors, and we don't look to God who created heaven and earth. Faith over fear. I have got to witness so many individuals paralyzed in their service to the Lord because of fear. In fact, when you have conversations with them, they talk about me, but they never mention God. See, you've already lost the battle in your mind. You have factored in yourself, but you have not factored in the Lord. And it's the same mistake that the Israelites made outside the promised land. They said, "We cannot do this. Look at what's against us. Look at all these physical challenges. It can't be done." With God, it can. With God, it can. And although some people might not like this prescription for fear, it's exactly what David brings up throughout his life. He says, I face this fear, I face this challenge, and I'm trusting in God every step of the way. The Israelites had a problem at the edge of the promised land. They lacked faith. They did not trust in God the way they should have. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please Him." And God is looking for a living and active faith, as we see in James chapter 2 and verse 26. God is looking for a people of courage. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, it says, "The cowardly will not inherit the kingdom of God." The cowardly. We have to have courage, and part of our courage and our confidence comes from God being on our side. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25, it says this. It says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be safe." I'll repeat that. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25, it says, "For the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." Fear is a trap. Fear is a trap that will hold you back from doing what you should do, from doing what God would want you to do in His service. And I believe fear was a snare at the edge of the promised land. It held them back from going in. And unfortunately, I think that when it comes to eternity, when it comes to the end of this life, unfortunately, many people will not become Christians because of fear. Many people will not serve God in an appropriate way because of fear. Fear is a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. Surely it is better to trust in the Lord than to put our confidence in man. But unfortunately, that's what many do. Number one, many people might not like it, but if you want to face fear head on, trust in the Lord. Number two, you must trust in the Word of God. In Hosea, it talks about the people being destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Do you know what God has promised? Do you know what God has said? for his servants, for those that are following him. Number one, trust in God. Number two, trust in his word. Trust in what God has said, his promises and his presence. Trust in the word of God. Do you trust in the promises of God? I think man gives lip service to the promises of God. Do we really believe them? Do we really feel the promises of God? Do we really act on the promises of God the way that we should? If we have been promised eternal life, if we have been promised, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. If we have these things in our favor, because God on high has promised us these things, that should lead to a peace and a security and a joy in our lives. Do we really believe the promises of God? Do we really believe what he said to his followers throughout time? In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. See, when God says it, you can take it to the bank. When God says it, he will be consistent and he will make sure that promise is fulfilled. You know, you probably have some people in your life that are incredibly consistent. That if you ask them to do something and they say they will do it, it will be done. There are some people in your life, if they give you some encouragement or they give you some confidence and say, I'll help you out with this or I'll do this, they will do it. They are consistent. And that is the God that we serve. A God that shows up time and time again to answer the call. But do you trust God's word? Do you trust the promises of God? I think we can all struggle from time to time. Certainly Paul could trust in God. Certainly, Paul could have known the word of God and not had fear. But we see that actually Paul has at least one moment of weakness in Acts chapter 18. In Acts chapter 18, Paul comes to Corinth. And it's interesting what we see in Acts chapter 18 that God is telling Paul, and also what he writes back to the Corinthians after he leaves. He leaves Corinth and he writes back to them, and it's interesting to see what he says. So Paul is showing up to town. Now remember, Paul has been run out of town. There's many things that have happened to Paul, and I think Paul has a moment of weakness. In Acts chapter 18 verses 9 and 10, the Bible says this. It says, now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. In Acts chapter 18, I think we get one side of the story. Paul shows up to this town, and I actually think that he has some fear and some anxiousness of going into town. I think he's got some fear and anxiousness of preaching the gospel. I think so. I think fear might have almost got the best of Paul. And we see that God actually speaks with Paul and says to Paul, do not be afraid, but speak and do not be silent. I think the implication is that Paul was really struggling and that perhaps he was letting the fear get the best of him, where he was almost like, I don't know if I can go into this town or not. We say, Kyle, where are you getting at? Well, Paul is going to go in there and he's going to preach. Later on, he's going to write a letter to these people after he leaves. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3. Paul says this. He says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Now, I think that could tie to a variety of things, but when I look at Acts chapter 18 and I'm connecting it with this letter, it looks like that Paul might have been struggling with some things. You know, I think that whenever we read about somebody in the Bible, perhaps it's easy to put them on a pedestal, but if you look at any Bible person that we read about for any length of time, you will see that they were human just like us, and they struggle with things just like us. Paul said, when I was with you, I was weak. When I was with you, I was in fear. When I was with you, I was trembling. Now, it's hard for me to visualize Paul that way when we see so many of the writings of the Apostle Paul, and we can almost, as we read his words, we can almost feel the fire, passion, and zeal behind his words that he was writing to Christians. But this is Paul's words. He said, I was weak. I was in fear. I was in trembling. If David can struggle with fear, if Job can mention fear, if Paul mentioned fear, I believe at some point in your Christian life, you are going to come face to face with fear. And maybe you would say very similar to Job, as Job said in Job chapter 3 and verse 25, he said, my greatest fears have come upon me. The Christian is not promised a life that they will not face fear. In fact, if we live the Christian life correctly, I believe we will face fear more often than we care to admit. If we live the Christian life correctly, I believe we will face fear more often than we would care to admit. David, a man after God's own heart, facing fear. Job, my greatest fears have come upon me. Paul, when I was with you, I was in weakness, I was in fear, I was in trembling. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we must have courage. But I believe that courage is not the absence of fear. I don't believe courage is the absence of fear. I think courage is actually when fear is present and we decide that something is more important than our fear. I think about that quite a bit. You're going to face fear in your life. In fact, I think if you try to live the best life you can for God, you will have fear more often in your life than you would care to admit. But you know what? God, when we read His Word, we get to see God deliver His people time and time again. And we see that God says, I promise you that I will be with you. I will be with you through these things. God's Word is so powerful. We're going to see so many examples of trial to trial. We're going to see victory out of, really, the hands of defeat. But God says He will be with us. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things that you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you understand that God says He will be with you? When you face trials, when you face adversity, when you face the struggles of life, persecution, alienation, disease, death itself, God says, I will be with you. And we've got to read through the pages of the Bible that God proves that again and again and again. My hope comes from God who created heavens and earth. We think of Matthew chapter 28. He sends them out on the Great Commission, and he says, as it unfolds, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things, skipping to the end there, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. Trust in God, but also understand the promises of God. What has God said to His people? He says, I will be with you. I think of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I think that kind of leads us into our last point. Trust in God, trust in His Word, what God has promised, but also utilize prayer. And if you really fear something, number one, are you factoring God into the equation? Number two, have you really looked at God's Word on the subject that you're struggling on? Number three, is are you utilizing prayer? Because in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it gives us the idea of praying, and as we have these anxieties and these fears come up, that we should be praying and we should be taking these things to God. I think of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. We have a God that cares. We have a God that wants to hear about your problems, your issues, your anxieties, and your fears. But how many times do we make the call? How many times do we make the call to God? Well, I'm hearing this and I'm anxious about this, but are you praying to God about it? Are you praying to God about your trials and your adversities in this life? God has some prescriptions for fear. And I'm not saying that they're easy prescriptions for fear. But many times people face things in their lives and they say, I am not going to factor God in. There are many times where people say, you know, I'm struggling with this, but I'm not going to read God's Word to see what He says. And there are many people that struggle with fears in this life and they say, I will not pray to God. And then they find themselves in the storms of life and saying, God, why are we perishing? God, why is all these things? Well, God did not promise us a life without fear and anxiety. God promised us help in the hour of need. Do you take your trials and tribulations, your fears, to God? I think in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, it says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now I think that might take a little practice. Come boldly before the throne of grace in the time of need. Do you trust in God? Do you go to God's Word? Do you go to God in prayer? We have a high priest who went through temptations and trials just as we did. And he says, boldly come to me in your time of need. Do you walk more in fear or do you walk more in faith? We're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Say, Kyle, I have a lot of fear in my life. I say, go to work on your faith. The people that I know, that I believe, that I look up to as pillars in the faith, are individuals that I believe that they have built their faith over the years where they handle fear many times much better than I do. They handle trials and adversities much better than I do because I believe that they have built their faith. They have built their faith that they're like David and say, when these things come, I will trust in God. They have built their faith to the point that they say, when trials and I get afraid and I have anxiety, I'm going to go see what God's Word has to say about this. And they also utilize prayer. The question is do you use the same? Do you do what they did of old to handle fear? Trusting in God, going to God's Word, and utilizing prayer. In Acts, they are being persecuted, and they actually pray for boldness. They're persecuted, and we see in Acts, they go to God in prayer and pray for boldness. When's the last time you prayed to God to help you with your fear? To help you with your anxiety? I think we will all face fear. If Job talks about fear, if Paul talks about fear, if David talks about fear, I think we will face fear. The question is when the fears and the anxieties come, how will you face them? I believe you need to face them trusting in God, going to God's Word, and utilizing prayer. And I believe if you don't do those things, I believe fear will paralyze you. And in my mind, that's kind of one of the scariest things of all. God's people paralyzed and not doing what God wants them to do. I don't know how else to explain what happened at the edge of the promised land. Those individuals lacked faith. They were not trusting in God. They were not looking to God's Word and His promises of the past. I don't think that they were praying to God the way that they should. And their fear paralyzed them on the edge of the promised land, and they did not enter in. You think that fear could keep you back from getting to heaven? I think it could. I think fear could paralyze you to the point that you would not make heaven. Trust in the Lord. Trust in His Word. Utilize prayer. You don't have to go through this life alone. God is there. Perhaps this morning you need to become a New Testament Christian. I believe we see the pattern in the New Testament of hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. And when we're baptized and our sins are washed away and we're added to the church, it doesn't mean that we won't face fears and anxieties. It means that now we get to face fears and anxieties with God, His Word, and an avenue to call on God. We're not promised a perfect and easy life, but we are promised that all things will work out. Are you ready to serve the Lord, become a New Testament Christian? Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way if you come as we stand, as we sing.